Forever Dog. Race Chaser. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. And welcome back to Race Chaser, a podcast dedicated to the discussion, dissection,
and dissemination
of every single episode of RuPaul's Drag Race, starting from the very beginning.
This is the beginning.
My name's Alaska. What's yours?
Hello, I'm Willem. I'm your co-host.
We are co-hostesses together.
We're
like a submarine, and we can't launch the missiles until both of our keys have been turned.
You know I have experience in the snorkel department, too.
I know.
Girl, I go up periscope, down periscope, wherever you want.
Aft, port, port side, starboard.
Chocolate starboard side.
Up, do.
Last week was a real updo for everybody. They had a big mini challenge, which was the Bitch Fest with puppets. And they were all told their guest judge was Whoopi Goldberg. So they had to impress a titan in the entertainment industry, in addition to RuPaul. These challenges, it was the one woman show, and it really showed the girls. I think it showed what's going to happen in the careers that are to come, because the one woman show is the thing for the next 6 months, I feel like, for girls, if they want an audience anyway.
Oh, like a digital one woman show?
I mean, that's what you've been doing. That's what most queens have been trying to do to turn a buck and stuff. So this is a real world practical use application challenge. And some of the girls did good. But Jada and Heidi ended up having to lip sync for their lives. Mm-hmm. And we whittled our way down to a top five.
Yeah,
with Heidi going home.
We said, peace out, Ramsor, young lady. And she
Heidi
wrote,
home closet.
She wrote on the mirror with lipstick, remember to stay soft and supple. And always insert stolen catchphrase here. What?
Did she actually write that?
In parentheses, she wrote that.
I mean, I love an aware queen. I love a self-referential queen. It's so smart.
Is that a read on someone?
It's a read on all the girls. I mean, the stupid entrance phrases that the girls have been doing every year. The All-Stars phrases really made me roll my eyes. But like all these girls that are trying to force catchphrases down people's throat when they don't realize people have to want to catch a catchphrase. Some of these aren't catchable. They're like infield flies that you're going to miss in the sun for sure.
Well, keep your eyes on the stars
because you'll never be one.
Do See, either of you remember what Heidi did on her entrance?
Is that what she did?
It makes the most beautiful waveform on the recording. I just looked at it. It's like so pretty.
So it's
hard to say goodbye to Miss Heidi. Heidi.
Say goodbye,
Heidi
Mama.
Nina Closet or whatever.
Just so upsetting.
She signs her name Love Heidi something because it's up in the air as to whether she will have changed her name. But I hope that she doesn't.
I mean, I think it's clear that we haven't seen the last of her.
You haven't seen,
the last of me. I've been down. So the power went out in the studio, and
yeah, what?
I fully thought that it was going to be we turn the lights on and we see Jan there, or they were going to lead the girls into the untucked room, and then Jan was going to be waiting, because I was just like, it's too much of a misdirect, you know?
It was not a well-orchestrated surprise. It was just they plugged too many things into the outlet and it burst.
Somebody left their epilady on, I think.
This happened on All Stars. There was some sort of electrical problem when we were doing Snatch Game. And we were all in our looks. And we had all gone in and we sat down. And then they had to take us all out of the room for a while. It was... it was, I don't remember how long it was, but it was
a
while.
Why didn't Detox pee then? Never mind.
Hey, bro, I'm just going to pee right over here. Yeah. She just came off as sort of an obnoxious skank.
Which would have worked if she was playing me and not Kesha. But whatever. So the queens are all talking about Heidi's elimination, and Jackie is becoming, it's so clear that like it's whittling down and certain people are going to have to go home, and Jackie is like feeling this make or break episode hardcore, and she's talking about it here. She's like, I'm the Susan Lucci of season 12. Here's the thing though, Susan Lucci eventually won on her 17th nomination.
That's
daytime Emmy.
That's a good fact to know, and I love Susan Lucci, and, you know, so...
Susan Lucci taught me one of my favorite red carpet poses.
What?
The Lucci is when you stand straight, and then you press, like, this of your hand, like, the butt of your hand mm-hmm. against your thigh a little bit, and it makes your tits rise a little bit, and your shoulders go down, and your neck goes up. It's called the Lucci.
Work. Willem Wisdom.
I'll show you next time when we're on a carpet
next
somewhere.
Next time we're on a carpet, we'll just Lucci about.
I mean, maybe you could do it at the PEG Stage It Awards.
I most definitely could. I make it a carpet in my house.
It's just like 18 red bath mats sewn together.
Fully and completely. But, you know, the next day, the divas get the power turned back on and the divas are ready.
They're a transformer.
And we are back to true form with a video message from RuPaul. Yeah.
Hey, showgirls.
Ding.
Welcome to the winner's circle.
Ding.
It's time to shake the dice and steal the rice because I'm about to roulette you have it. Is that a one-eyed jack in your hand? Because I'm feeling lucky.
She dealt two cards, a queen and a three. And so mumbled some words that were so strange to me.
Now, why does she even have a cat in her car? Cats are hard to control. They'll jump out on Bourbon Street. Like, who travels with a cat?
I remember her strange perfume, white diamonds.
Scented by Willem. Rue pops into the workroom, and it is clearly this is a Vegas-themed episode advertising RuPaul's Drag Race Live.
This is, I mean, do they have to say at the beginning of the episode this is a paid advertisement?
Girl, I only have one problem because they said it was an all singing, all dancing extravaganza. They're not singing. It's a pre-recorded track. So they may be dancing.
Some of it is.
What do you
mean? Some of it's them singing it.
Yeah, I know, but it's not singing. It's pre-recorded. So the challenge. Like when they, honey, tell me this. I have a problem with her with precision of language because what's harder, singing and dancing at the same time or just dancing and lip syncing at the same time?
Well, singing and dancing is very difficult. Yeah.
So I just have a problem with RuPaul's precision of language.
Okay.
I've never had a problem with her before, so it's weird. I didn't want to say anything.
This is a some singing, most dancing
extravaganza.
Type of extravaganza.
I don't know if it's an extravaganza, maybe an etceteraganza.
It was very sad watching this because it was like, well, ain't nobody going to Vegas anytime soon.
But
the show or otherwise.
They are saying that the old Glitter Gulch part of Vegas is going to open up sooner than the Strip. So people might be going to Vegas.
Is that where Goddess plays? Or the Cheetah?
We could have gotten anybody.
She's exciting. She's classy. And she's very, very,
very, very
sexy.
It's Glitter Gulch is where they have, like, you can zip line above, like, the old street and stuff. Oh. And it's kind of cool.
Well, the mini challenge, we're going full Vegas with this episode. And why not? It's a fun theme. And the girls get to create a one-of-a-kind showgirl headdress that screams Viva Drag Vegas. They have 30 minutes to create their headdresses and get into quick showgirl drag.
That is quick to create a headdress and to get into drag in 30 minutes?
I think they might have given them a little more time. Because their drag was really good and their headdresses were really good.
Yeah. I mean, they weren't little like Pia butterfly hats, that's for sure.
Oh, my God.
They each give a little skit, showgirl skit script, and the girls fill in the blanks. And they are mostly callbacks to things they have done in the show.
Yeah. Like, remember when you laughed at this? Here, laugh again. I'll do it again. Look.
That's how it goes at Drag Race, yeah. Girl.
Keep her laughing. Gigi wins the mini challenge, and she gets a trip for two to see RuPaul's Drag Race live in Las Vegas.
Which, I mean, they all went there and watched it.
And much like RuPaul's Drag Race live, we're going to take a break now, too.
Bye.
Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes.
You can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie.
Also, you're going to want to discover the 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long.
What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals.
The Factor meals were so great. I love that they came in a recyclable container and with very little waste. And food, delicious. My taste buds had a party.
Exactly. Really good. Really easy to make. Loved it.
Not a lot of cleanup because Factor Meals eliminates the hassle of the prepping, the cooking, and cleaning up. Simply heat and savor the good stuff, and you can customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need, and then pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle.
Get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals, so you can get back to doing what you love this spring. And if you're looking for gourmet meals, try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus.
And Factor is celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for our lowest carbon footprint meals.
Head to factormeals.com/drag50. And use code DRAG50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box.
That's code DRAG50 at factormeals.com/DRAG50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is still active.
Dealt two cards, a queen and a three, and mumbled some words.
So strange to me.
We're back.
We're back. So this maxi challenge is basically...
Oh, my gosh, this tea is
hot. Hot tea. Is basically for it's a put in rehearsal for these girls to be doing the same show that Cameron, Vanjie,
Evie,
Naomi,
Asia,
that all the girls are doing in Vegas. Did you see that show yet?
I didn't get a chance to see it, but I saw a bunch of clips online, and it looks like a really fun drag show.
I saw it. I had lots of fun. I would say 85% of it is 100% enjoyable. The trope about them coming into the workroom is a little forced. Whatever. We just want to see a drag show. We don't need story.
Baby, we made it.
We made it.
I watched a lot of it, actually. Come to think of it, I watched a lot of it on Heidi and Closet's Instagram Live.
Oh, yeah?
Because she sat there. They flew everyone out because they went out for the premiere. Mm-hmm. And Heidi was broadcasting much of the show on Instagram Live, which I really appreciated because it was fucking, it was great, really fun to watch.
She had reception in closet? the only part I didn't like was one of the numbers that they did with the mirror, because it just the mirror and me,
no.
It was just so cheesy.
It's growing on me. I love this song now, and I want to cover it.
Yeah, but watching the people perform it, it's like cringeworthy. And the audience at that point, that's when everybody like was getting up and they were like, it's they not said. Nobody wants a ballad in a Vegas drag show unless there's rain and Celine Dion is singing.
Okay.
And the
See,
girls
I like that.
The girls doing it, you could tell it was pulling teeth. None of them wanted to do it. Yeah. It was just like dumb.
Well, the girls of this season get to perform that very song, as well as a couple of others. The big opening, and then, of course, the heartfelt ballad, and also a spectacular disco finale.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so the girls get a session with Leland, and they...
So who is Leland? Is he the one guy or the other guy? Because I don't know. Is Leland the team? That they're
Leland is the blonde guy.
Okay, who's that other man? They didn't even want to tell us who he is.
They later said his name is Freddie. Leland and Freddie are like a songwriting duo.
Okay.
But Leland is an actual recording artist. Like he like puts himself out there with music videos and stuff. So I think they were trying to push him.
Yeah.
Because Freddie's a producer.
Got it.
Yeah. And the girls get to write their own original rap verse. Again, and they also have the chance to work with Jamal Sims on the performance and the choreography, which is, I mean, this is a great opportunity to get to work with all these fucking people. You're thrown into Drag Race and suddenly you're writing raps with fucking Leland and dancing with Jamal Sims. It's really, it's like special. It's great to see.
Jackie kind of identifies with the title of the finale song because it's called Losing is the New Winning.
Yeah, I thought it was shade that they put the two girls with the lowest track record out for that song right away.
I mean,
they were like, you two start with this one. Yeah.
Shade for me is when it's like indirect or witty. This was just like point blank. Like, you guys are the lowest, so sing about losing. Is this the third or the second rap challenge that they've had this season? They had the Madonna one, kind of, or was that pre-written?
Well, those songs were pre-written. They just had to sing them, but they wrote raps for the very first episode. Half of the cast did.
Good.
Yeah. Good morning, campers.
Jada's having trouble with her rap lyrics. But
well, to be honest, at this point at Drag Race, you have lost your entire mind. You are out of creative juice. You are literally, it's like being like in a hostage situation, but it's reached like day 40. And so you're just like a shell of a person. And you're just like, can I just get to the end, please? That's how I was anyway. So some of the girls are like, I don't know, I have to be like really heartfelt about this rap. And like, so you're just, your brain process is just like thinking over stuff too much rather than just like doing it.
Yeah. Crystal is clearly in her head, and she is, when she's writing, she's asking what the girls, what they're doing and everything. And I liked that when she went out on stage, every time that something faltered, she said, I am talented and amazing, or blah, blah, blah. Like,
yeah,
like tricking your brain into it, because fake it till you make it at this point. If there's a camera on, don't give them that little ounce of like uncertainty, because they will mine it for all it's worth.
That's tea.
But the main stage recording vocals, I don't see him going terrible for anybody, really. Gigi is up first, and they just tell her she needs more energy. But she kind of nails it, I thought.
Yeah, the girls sound great, honestly.
They didn't show Sherry singing, but that's fine.
Yeah.
Jada.
Do you think, because they had to not only sing the parts that were pre-written, but then also do their rap? Do you think they also did the singing right there on the main stage? Or do you think that was just about the rapping?
Oh, you think that's their voices on the chorus?
It is.
In addition, they sang some verses and then there's like support vocal, mm-hmm. but they have to both sing and rap.
Nice.
I think they, for the purposes of making a TV show, I think they showed us the, they showed us the rap, right? The recording of the raps. So I think they wanted everybody's vocals to sound really just 100% for the songs, mm-hmm. for the like songs that are in the Vegas show, because they don't want to be like, come see our Vegas show. This song is literally sounds like a cat in a fucking garbage bag being strangled. No, I'm sure they cameras went down. They gave them a really cute mic. Lots of support, gave them notes and put the song in the vocal range that works for them, whether it's the octave up or the octave down. They melodyned the Jesus out of it to make it sound really great, which, girl, Melodyne is, I'm going to name my first child Melodyne, so I'm not judging. I'm saying it's how you record a track, you know? They all sounded really, really great on the singing tracks. But yeah. We get to see them recording the raps.
The dancing this time, it's like no dancer girls in the top five, really. And like, right. Do you remember the one year when it was like Aquaria and Eureka and Cameron and...
Yeah.
I forget who else, but like they were all like... And Asia, and they were all dancers.
Right.
Remember? Like that was, and this finale doesn't feel like it's going to be a dance off so much. But Jamal does mention the jiggle in Jackie's ass.
Persianality.
Mm-hmm. But the other queens, they think Jackie's giving off kind of a dad vibe. And I kind of noticed that whenever he said like to put some funk on it or to like get sexy with it, mm-hmm. it felt like a man's version of sexy and not a woman's version.
Right.
I don't know if that's because he was in flats, because that really shifts your center of gravity and like lets you use your hips and your ass a lot more when you're in heels than when you are in a flat.
Yeah.
So I don't know if maybe that would have helped or if, you know. Something.
Also just like being sort of in like. In men's clothes sort of changes the way that you totally like hold yourself and move around. So it kind of, I don't, cause I always discover new stuff. Like you said, because of the heels or like if you have like a boa or whatever you're going to be using in the thing, mm-hmm. it helps you like discover, even if I'm wearing a tank top and as a dance rehearsal, I like to put one off the shoulder.
Woman.
Just so that I can feel a little bit like, the woman who's going to be performing the damn number.
Mm-hmm. This is my clavicle.
This is my clavicle. It's covered in shimmer.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree with you on that. But these girls are selling it like they are dancers. Jada has this little like widow move from Jamal. That's like that little scoop.
So happy.
Yeah.
The scoop de doop is the dance craze sweeping the nation.
Mm-hmm. I want all the girls to do it on the reunion, which has been filmed apparently already.
I've heard a little piece of intel about that as well.
Ooh! Intelligentsia? Intelligentsia to the stage?
Yes, that's the word on the street. But who knows? But you know what? The Atlanta Housewives did a great reunion over Zoom, so if they can do it, I have faith that the RuPaul's Drag Race reunion is going to be really fun. I read online on Entertainment Weekly that it's a slumber party themed, so it's sort of like everyone nestling around their computers in their like you know robes and stuff to just recap.
How wonderful.
Yeah. Sherry didn't rehearse, but she was wearing heels the whole time.
I mean, New York queens, they bring it. Britta told us.
Whoosh.
Yeah. Oh.
The next day, the dolls walk in for their last day in the workroom. Can you believe it? And there's a cocktail waiting for them.
I'm confused as to... do you think that they took the interviews of the girls saying, this is our last day in the workroom from when it was... down to four? Like, is there another episode somewhere? Because, like, is it always, isn't it usually top three, or is it always top four now?
It's been top four for
since Courtney season?
The past few years.
Well,
hasn't
I remember
it
was Kim, Naomi, and Bob. That was season eight, maybe. And then season nine was Sasha. Was that Sasha?
Yeah, Sasha, so season nine was the first time it was top
season four. Nine was the first top four, I guess.
And then they continued doing that so they could do the spinning wheel of doom and pair them off two by two for lip syncs.
Okay.
So I guess that's what we're going to be doing this time.
Are we going to be doing Zoom lip syncs to determine the winner of RuPaul's Drag Race All Stars?
Fuck yes.
How
I'm
wonderful.
So excited. How wonderfully camp. And thank you for Mickey's West Hollywood for these delicious cocktails. I want so bad to go to a bar right now. Mickey's.
Thank you.
Which I don't even know if I'm allowed in. No, I'm just kidding. I love them.
I love seeing the girls with their cocktails because you can tell which girls are good drag queens because one of them downs that drink real quick and it's empty. Another girl, like, she's like, oh, I'll bring this with me. It's like, how do you still have liquor in that, bitch?
No, ma'am. And it's like fucking 9 in the morning. So it's just like, yes.
Open a vein.
Amazing.
Ouch.
Fuck. I would always in, are you okay?
Just got to get something to get straight.
In Untucked, I would always finish everybody's drinks because some of the girls were light drinkers and, you know, detox. And I would be like, you're going to finish that, Tuts? I know you don't drink, but would you just order one and then I'll just drink it for you? Thank you.
Thank you.
The Maxi Challenge is basically, I mean, this is essentially a Rusical, okay? And there have been a lot of really amazing main stage extravaganzas this season. I'm that bitch, you don't know me.
Madonna.
Madonna. But you keep it all inside. I'm that bitch. You don't know me. And Madonna. But you keep it
Fosse.
All inside.
Fosse. He's chewing gum, Armand.
He can't do that while I'm singing.
The girls are doing mirror chats and talking, and so the reactions are more priceless than anything because Jackie is just saying things she thinks, and the girls are swivel necking and then just giving blank stares at, oh, is that what you think? Gigi's little thing about where she just turned into the robot and like not even one blink. It was just such like a great slow turn, like
does not fempute.
It did not fempute at all.
It was when Jackie said, yeah, when you first walked in the workroom, I just thought you were like some campy queen because you were dressed like a pirate. And yeah. Gigi just turns around, looks straight into the camera.
She did. It was so great. Just breaking dead-eyed. The fourth wall. And outlining that that was not a costume, that was a look, is, you know, it's one of those things that needs to be told because a costume would have like a character shoe with it or a tag in the back from Western Costume Rental. This
right.
was a look.
It would have come from a rental house.
Or something costumey. This was
costumery. It was a custom, special, unique drag moment. And I think we all know that. And I think that's why that look at the camera will forever go down in history. Jackie is full of knowledge. She is just blossoming. I'm quoting Tatiana from season two. Since Morgan left, Raven is just full of knowledge. She's just, her personality is just blossoming. But no, Jackie says, Jada, your paint was really good as the bad apple.
I mean, that.
It was, but
But here's the thing: Jada copied Miss Cracker, who copied Aquaria with that sad brow,
the sad clown brow.
No one called out Jada for that. Jada bitch.
Jada bitch.
But They all kind of agree that Crystal has evolved the most so far this season, and I definitely agree too. I wouldn't be surprised if they just give Crystal the win. They say, well, since Jada and Gigi are tied, we're just going to give it to Crystal.
I mean, it could literally happen. That's why this season is very exciting, because we do not, well, we know who's not going to win, but we don't otherwise know who is going to win. And then Sherry says, do you think report cards are going to come into play? Do you think they're going to count drop lines or?
I mean, at this point, it has to. And Sherry is smart enough to insert that narrative into the show's actual narrative while the cameras are on, because we're all thinking it, you know, we're like, well, homegirl hasn't won at all, but she's been in the top and she has 3 mini challenge wins. But, you know.
Yeah,
Gigi and Jada are up there racking them up. Probably lost count by that point. They all agree that report card probably will come into play.
I think so. Well, if you're one of the girls who has one of the most wins, then yeah, you definitely want the report card to come into play. But when it comes down to spinning Wheel of Doom and Desire, Lip Sync Extravaganza on the finale, they don't give a fuck what you did on the season, if you won challenges, if you fucking never won a challenge. It doesn't matter, because it comes down to the lip sync on the day. So you never know what's going to happen.
Didn't someone win one challenge and someone else won 4 challenges and they won the season? Was that Evie or Sasha?
Evie only had one challenge win. She was in the top a lot, but I think she only won one challenge.
Yeah, I think she won the season with one challenge, and Brooklyn had like 4 challenge wins. But they let her host a show, which is nice. So.
And Shay Coulee had won 4 challenges and Sasha Velour had won 2. And, you know, Sasha Velour just murdered it on the day of the lip sync. So the report card kind of goes out the window. But they're hoping their report card will get them to the final 4, is what I think there.
I used to throw my report card out the window, too. I didn't want my parents to see it. It always said I had an attitude problem at the bottom.
I don't know what they were talking about. Those fucking sons idiots. Of bitches. We'll be back.
To the runway.
RuPaul is in a black sequin gown and blonde hair.
Now, you'd be remiss in not mentioning that this sequin is an oil slick sequin with Aurora Borealis dark tones radiating throughout it.
Wow.
I love the look. I think Mother looks great.
Gorge.
This is just a classic, you know, return to form, which I find comforting in times like these.
It's everything we want from RuPaul, and she's delivering it.
Yeah. She knows who she is, and she delivers at all times.
Yeah, just don't make her turn her head to the left or right. The judges are also there. Now, this is a treat for me, because we get Carson and Ross, and they're honestly the funniest people on the panel every
time.
They're
very funny. It's great to have them sizzle with one another.
I love having them there. And Jamal Sims is rounding out the judging panel for today. Yes. I would be more than happy to have Jamal Sims judge me on several things.
Oh my gosh. Your fancy footwork?
My fancy footwork. my handiwork. My fingerling potatoes.
Your lip syncing.
My lip stinking.
Oh, yes. Just a classic off the shoulder sculpted. Please show me all the shoulder. Her shoulders are just shimmering. Shoulders. I want to buy her shoulders at Barney's.
Shimmer shoulders.
Now, the Flamingo Las Vegas is proud to present RuPaul's Drag Race Live. A medley.
Winter medley.
Winter medley. Baby, we made it. We made it. When this first came on the screen, I was like, Sherry already wore the ad. And then I realized they were wearing their entrance.
Their entrance looks.
Sherry already wore that. She ran out of clothes.
I heard that this year the girls had like 50 things on their list of stuff they needed to bring. 50.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Work.
Yeah, all these girls come pumping in, and a little song about being cast on Drag Race. Yeah, they should talk about the psych quiz, but they don't. Girls pulling out a 600-page test that they have to fill in. My cat tells me what to do at times.
Should we write a parody? That's our own version of this. That's about the actual process of getting to Drag Race.
The actual process.
Only 50, only 50 pounds for the bags.
The bags. So this act one number, it's...
My bag was 65 pounds. What will I take out and leave on the ground?
Angina said her All-Stars opening look took up a whole suitcase and it was like 15 or 20 pounds.
Fuck.
Which is more than her. So I kind of... Yeah, I didn't understand. So lyrically... The message in the mirror song, which is like the act one closer, it has a really it has a message that kind of can be interpreted in a couple ways.
Yeah.
There's a line in the song that says, I finally feel at home. I don't hate the mirror anymore.
Yeah.
And that for me is like one of those things that could be like depending on who you are, you could take it certain different ways for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I think they're writing it as like you feel like more yourself when you're in drag, which is the case for a lot of people. And when they're, especially when they're first starting drag, it's like something about them locks into place when they finally are like having that relationship with themselves in the mirror. It could be like a trans sensibility, like finally my like exterior is matching who I am on the inside, and I see that. So I don't know. The more I listen to this song, and I have been listening to it a lot because I want to cover it, but I love this song. I think it's very beautiful and really beautifully written.
I'm glad you think that. The finale is Losing is the New Winning, and it's a disco sensation song featuring all the choreography, and at least three or four of the dancers from the Vegas show are there too.
Yeah.
I didn't see Dallas, who was like my favorite dancer from the show, but I saw Michael Silas, who's been a Gaga dancer for a while, and everywhere else. But a couple of them made pop-ups.
I feel like nobody was, I mean, nobody dropped the ball. Nobody was Booger Boots. The whole thing just, it was a very well put together representation of what you would see at the Vegas show, I think.
Yeah. I could agree with you on that for sure. Yes, I agree with you. That's the easiest thing to say.
These girls probably practiced until their fucking heels were full of blood. Gigi Good fucking slides across the floor just
swiffering the floor with her puss.
Yes, just
puss swiffer.
Really quite stunning and amazing.
Can I point out a piece of choreography I thought was very effective?
No, thank you.
What?
Yes.
When Jada's dancing and all the boys have those big feather fans.
Yeah.
And all she did was walk past them, but they moved them. And it was like all she had to do was walk back and forth. But it was so visually effective.
Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. I love fucking choreography like that.
See, I tried to steal some feather fans on my season of Drag Race. Got them all in my Dior bag, all zipped up, feathers all coming out the zipper. And that's when they came in and said, if you guys took anything, and then nobody else would admit to taking nothing. But I was like, well, fine, I'll empty my bag. But y'all know you took stuff, too, because other girls are taking stuff. Whatever. I like these
Losing
feather fans.
Losing is the new winning.
Mm-hmm. These girls went through, I think, three outfits each for just this number, and then a fourth outfit for the runway. Even though their first look was already worn, but this is they're dealing with a lot of changes, a lot of hair, a lot of clothes, and they all look sickening. I will give them that. Would I wear really all these outfits? No, but some of them do make me sick.
Oh my god!
the runway category is eleganza extravaganza, which basically means whatever you have left that's kind of like nice.
Yes.
That's what that translates to me, because they had to be running out of clothes.
But everybody looked really stunning. They know that this is their last chance on this runway to leave an impression. Crystal comes out. She is Jombie, the fucking genie from Pee Wee Herman, but as a Rodeo Drive hooker.
Mm-hmm. I like the blue velvet boot matches. The like having the right shoe with an outfit is like
very important. Yes,
it's like a kiss from God or something. Like, I'm gonna let you shine in this shoe.
Now, just a sidebar. I saw someone do an image of all of Crystal's runway looks, and she's worn pants every runway.
Wow, pants on the runway.
She's the pants girl.
Cool.
And if you think about it, sometimes they're big pants, sometimes they're tighter pants, but she is the pants girl. And it's never been like a big to do. It's just what she's done, which I think is a fun little surprise.
Mm-hmm. I really like that too. I didn't know that. Crystal, yeah. Gigi goes for this 80s prom. Like, my dad literally wore this color tuxedo to his wedding.
I love this color tuxedo.
It's sky blue with glitter pink accents. Mm-hmm. And I would like to note that this shoe matches perfectly to her headgear and her bow tie. It's like, it's perfect. And it's a Louboutin.
It's just lovely. And she's doing this sort of, there's braces on her teeth at one point, which I'm curious as to like the mechanics of the whole thing. It was good. Well done. Really fierce.
Very Last Friday Night mixed with like a Dior new silhouette. It's great.
Yes. Also kind of Molly Ringwald with the like red hair.
All that.
Total
salute.
Yes, deep salute. Salute.
Jackie comes out in a giant gown. Mm-hmm. Blue hair, blue gloves, blue shoe, blue lip.
Mm-hmm.
What do you like it? What are your thoughts?
I do like it. I think it's one of her best runways, and I can see why she waited until the end. And I saw a close-up detail somewhere on Instagram, but the fabric is really interesting. That polka dot fabric is like see-through. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so Michelle calls it out and says, there's a lot going on under there, and I can imagine that there is. But I think she looks great.
Yeah.
And a good job for Jackie.
Sherry comes out in this aqua blue feather Hello Dolly Mae West look.
Yeah.
And the only note I have is that the bottom doesn't look like it fits really well. It looks sort of blousy, like the skirt part, you know? When she walks up the runway, you'll see the fit is a little suspect, but like gorge, drag.
It's deep drag. It's that whole Hello Dolly moment that you just want. And I want to see the birth certificate because I don't believe she's only 27.
I mean, I have a question.
She is a madam.
Why did that umbrella go up to her shoulder? In the judging, you could see it's like a Maleficent staff. It's like up to her titty at least.
It's pretty good. It's good. It's good clothes.
I want to see the umbrella open. I want functional props.
Yeah. Jada Essence Hall. I'm breathless. The whole thing. She is always drag excellence, and this is yet again just drag perfection.
Mm-hmm.
I pee over her every week, and I will continue to do so long after the season is over. She's outstanding, flawless, genius, show stopping. Shit on it, piss on it, vomit on it.
The hair on it is so good, and like she definitely gives off like Sherry Headley vibes from Coming to America, but it's not necessarily like that costume from the wedding, but like just her grace and her elegance and the poise and everything. It's just oozing out of her. She's gorge.
The non-distracting titty bib where it's just like, it sort of just works with the whole look. It's not like you're just staring at the titty bib.
Yeah.
But
I mean,
it's there.
I always try to treat a titty bib as like a foundation garment to be worn under something else because, but I mean, that's just what I do. That's what I like. But I think Jada is also applying that. She did it under the red, white, and blue suit, you know?
Yeah.
It's a great thing for, like, unitards and just to give, like, a good shape. Give them all that shape.
She's got shape.
Shape for days. These judges, they thought the same thing that everyone else in the mirror thought about Crystal. That
yeah.
She's evolved so much, and it's obvious that Rue is a fan of her. And I don't know if there's a clear winner yet from this, but she gets positive reviews for sure.
She does.
Does she get any negatives at all that were shown?
Michelle said she didn't like her color combinations in the finale dance costume.
Oh, okay.
You know what's funny? Because I was taking notes when I watched the episode because it's something I do. I'm a very professional person.
Yes.
And all of Michelle's notes in this episode, and I've noticed many other episodes too, are all just personal opinions on things. It's like she literally says, I don't like that color combo. Mm-hmm. It's like no one gives a shit what color combo Michelle Visage likes. I mean, if it's like chopped or something and a judge says, I don't like red onions in the first round, and then you serve them red onions in two other rounds, you're a fucking idiot. But I don't give a fuck if she doesn't like green or if she doesn't like whatever else.
Yes, I agree.
Because she doesn't like the orange dress with the green belt and the blue hair for Crystal, but I love it. All those colors go so well together, I thought. And it's perfectly her.
Well, for the purposes of producing a TV show, they need someone to say something negative in case they need to throw it in the mix.
I totally understand that, but why not have it be something valid?
Like, sometimes they didn't do anything wrong, and it's hard to find. So it does come down to, like, I'm nitpicking because I wouldn't wear that, and they need that because everybody kind of crushed it. I'm just, you know, mm-hmm. This is what we're here to do.
I like discussing all points and all sides and all things like this.
Speaking of all points, Gigi is a great actor, a great singer. She's talented. They live for the look.
Well, they mostly live for the look. Michelle mentions that she hates chaps, which is just like, oh, good to know. Okay. No one cares.
Oh, wow.
Like, these chaps are amazing. Like, I don't give a fuck, Michelle, at all.
Chaps in drag are something that are being done a lot. And they're not always, they aren't always executed properly. It's kind of a hard thing to wear. But I mean, Gigi does, I mean, her fucking, the red look is the chaps that they're referring to, right?
Yeah. And
it's exquisite.
The only problem with that was that her hair was kind of tucked into the back of it at one point. Like, other than that, that is a deep,
send her home.
Salute.
No, I'm just kidding.
She had baby hairs.
Send her home. Jackie, her performance in the musical was great. It was connected. It was believable. They liked her feminine sort of vulnerability during the mirror song. Mm-hmm. And they like that she is putting her heritage proudly right out there. And she is also really likable and really charming.
I don't understand why nobody clocked her for having pantyhose at her natural waistline, and then the panty, the little cotton panty bra set that she had on was like where panties go, and you could see like just fishnet up to her like waist from where the panty stopped, but no one said that on the runway. Like, that's an actual legit critique that you can see, you know. Britney does it, but she's fucking Britney.
Yeah.
Jackie Cox should have her panty lines hid for sure. And I understand there was like a little tie on the robe. Maybe she thought that was covering it, but it's not. And it's Drag Race. And if they're going to nitpick, they could actually nitpick stuff that's like, I don't like that color. You know, it just annoys me.
Fair enough. Completely.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to Fair Enough. We know there's like three of you. You keep writing in.
Hello, my name is Farrah from the legendary house of Nuff.
Nuff? Nuff? Miss Nuff?
Yes.
Jackie.
Lorna Nuff.
We just talked about Jackie, so we're going to move on to Jada.
Jada
Essence Hall. They love her runway look and her performance in the musical. And I like that RuPaul says the thing about like finding a way to apply yourself to whatever challenge it is. And that's yes. what can push someone through, even if they mm-hmm. may not have a strength in that department. Jada has done that every single time. She just found her own way to put a spin on it. A lot like how like Chad did too, you know?
Yes.
Like Chad Michaels always did his own little thing no matter what and was just committed and balls of the wall.
I get the impression that, I mean, if I was in a competition with Jada, I feel like she's the queen that everyone would kind of be looking at and looking to as far as like, you know, drag excellence and drag perfection and sort of like the standard. Because mm-hmm. she really is just like all the fucking T's are crossed and all the I's are dotted. And she is like just, she's drag perfection. I obviously yes. can't say enough about it. And then Sherry.
Can you say enough about this? Because we might get red again. Emily might write in again.
Listen, she was on the show. We're talking about the show. Listen, if she had a show right now, I would tell you don't buy a ticket. But she luckily doesn't. So, okay. Anyway.
This is valid criticism from Michelle, though, finally. It says, Michelle didn't like her dance leotard at the end of the show.
Uh-huh.
Which leotards are one of those things that are, it's taboo. Like, oh, you want to go out on a little sparkle leotard and a shoe like that on the runway? I think Michelle is totally right about this. Like her little, it's like a red with a wings, bell sleeve. It wasn't anything to write home about.
It's not like it was just like off the rack though. Like it was a, I don't know.
Yeah,
was,
I'm sure it was.
She had to do a dance number. So she wore a dance costume.
Yep. Michelle doesn't like it though. I guess. So
Rue says that everyone is heroes and you all are so fantastic, really. She loves this.
I think
this
she meant hoes.
Oh.
Never mind.
The judges don't know what to do. They are not making it easy on them because all the girls crushed it this time around. And
they come to the same conclusion that the girls came to in the workroom. And they basically have washed their hands of all the blood that could have been on it by saying, well, we're just looking at the numbers, you know? We're going to take a break and look at those numbers.
Oh, yeah, look at this number.
Can you see this number? I like Trinity's concept because it's basically a way of saying like, see this girl's outfit? Let me make it cuter and for me. And then I'm going to write about why I like the girl. And then I'm going to say some nice things and then go to my Patreon.
Yeah.
I love Trinity. She knows her strengths. She knows she can take a good ass picture.
She really is good. And I've really enjoyed watching her series of doing all the winners looks. And I can't wait to see what mine is going to look.
Will she get a garbage bag with scent protection or a hefty cinch sack? There's so many options.
Mm-hmm. Force flex.
Oh, a force flex. Mm-hmm. I wish my hole could still do that. They said wink at me and it just stared blankly.
Dead-eyed. Never blinking so like exciting. Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah, they had to poke it and then it finally moved.
Gigi wins the maxi challenge and a cash tip of $5.
So far, Gigi's won now more, almost as much money as the first season of Drag Race. Wasn't the first season 25 grand?
Girl.
I think it was 10.
Really? Maybe the second was 25 and then the third was 7. No. The second was 25. The third was 50. No, the third was 75 and then we were... Yeah,
100.
So I think the second was 50. But she's now won, I think, $22,000, $22,500 maybe?
Girl, she's taking the cash. She's cashing the check.
She's showing them what they want to see. She also has a trip to Vegas, which, I mean, that definitely isn't free. She's won almost $30,000 worth of prizes so far.
Yeah.
Good for her.
She's definitely had a very good showing this season. And also in the final four... are Jada and Sherry. They are guaranteed a spot. in Poor the final girls. Four.
Congratulations. Which leaves the bottom two as Jackie and Crystal, which I think we all saw coming. And this lip sync song is On the Floor, Jennifer Lopez featuring Pitbull. We're gonna get on the floor. This is, I think it's a fun lip sync song, but.
Dip, you think it's a weird lip sync song?
I feel like for the fight for your final position,
yeah,
it could have been like a more emotional message. You know what I mean?
Nobody wants that. They want to see dancing girls.
I mean, it is a quintessential drag song. It's one of sure. those songs that you would see at a drag show. But, right, I mean,
I think it's good. The message literally says, go hard, get on the floor, you know? If you're an animal, on the floor, do something on the floor. Don't pee on the floor. Be a house-trained animal.
You're a whore. Put your legs up. That's a Sherry Vine tribute. Shout out to Sherry Vine, friend of the pod.
The only thing I wish someone would have done is every time they said on the floor, throw themselves on the floor face first. Like a fucking flying squirrel. Because that would have made me laugh so hard.
Yeah.
Gigi would have done it.
Who?
Gigi.
So, Crystal wins the lip sync and is granted a spot in the top four. Sorry,
oh,
excuse me.
My God. That was so graphic sounding.
Yeah, the insides of me coming out.
Whoa, cool. Keep
Tried to
it
make
in.
My butthole wink, it came out my nose.
Keep it in, do not cut that out. Crystal, she makes it into the final four. Now, I heard, I don't know if I should even bring this up. I heard that they filmed both of them. And I don't know if I can even say that, but that's what I've heard from just whispers in the wind.
What are they going to do? Take away your crown? Or not let you work with lesser known celebrities than yourself on their secret drag celebrity show?
What are you going to do, Joel? Fire me?
Good luck. I thank you for that tidbit of knowledge because I love that kind of stuff. But
they filmed them both getting eliminated. And then I think they left without
knowing.
Without knowing.
Oh, wow. That's got to be a lot to sit on.
But I think Jackie saw the writing on the wall, right?
At first we started out real cool.
You really can't. And Jackie took off her shoes.
Yeah, when she did that, I was like, okay, you can just put them in her suitcase because she's leaving. I was definitely Team Crystal for this lip sync.
Yeah.
But I remember hearing back when, like last year, 2019, after they had filmed, I remember hearing that, like, someone told me their quote was Britta, and they were on the season. They told me Britta kind of froze up. And, like, wasn't giving it how she normally does in New York. And having seen British shows in New York, like, she's an entertaining bitch. Yeah. So I was a little surprised at that. And they told me that Jackie was in the top, like, four or top five. They weren't sure. I was like, I don't know who she is. I've never heard of her. And I go to shows every night that I'm in New York, you know. But maybe I just wasn't going to her shows. But I'm glad that... that Crystal got through. I think her drag's important. I think it's new. I think it's stuff that nobody's seen before. And Jackie did great. But, like, I do not need to see a finger-waved Marcel Bobby Pins wig anymore on RuPaul's Drag Race. Okay. I mean, everybody's been wearing them. Like,
okay.
I just don't... Is it some power hair that you put on and it's like your Uberaya where you're just like, I have all the power? Like,
yeah.
I don't... Yeah, okay.
Maybe for her. But now, have you been following the hashtags online? I heard reports recently that Crystal was, like, by far winning in the hashtag vote.
I mean, here's the thing. I can't decide between Gigi and Jada because I love them both pretty much equally now at this point because they're so excellent. But Crystal is giving me something that I haven't seen from anybody else yet ever. So who knows if I'm fine with any of these girls.
Team Crystal has 40K likes on the RuPaul's Drag Race.
How many does
Twitter.
Team Gigi have?
Let me see. Team Gigi. To be fair, the hashtag Team Crystal might be about something else, but
Did Courtney start it?
I want to see the receipts.
No, Team Gigi has, as of the recording time, it has 18.6K likes on Twitter. And Team Jada
has 25.7 thousand.
This is, I mean, that's, everybody has a lot. And it's just Twitter. And I will tell you that they do not traditionally go just by the Twitter vote. But it is a good way of, it's a fun game to play.
It's a good indication of who the public is responding to. Which should be a good indication of who the crown should maybe go to. Like, if they did this season two and they did a Twitter poll, bitch, a landslide, Raven would have won, you know?
And right. But would she have won the season? I don't know. And you never know what's going to happen in the finale. But clearly, all of these girls are amazing and it's going to be really enjoyable to see. Whoever wins, it's going to be great.
You know that you'll get your 4 servings of fruit and vegetables because there will be a broccoli bitch coming through, I'm sure.
Girl, that broccoli suit has paid for itself and several homes around the earth.
Girl, she's going to come back to the reunion as broccolini with some garlic on her, real skinny, done, you know?
Oh, yes.
She said broccolini puss. can we tempt you to offer us a little snippet of... The show where if you don't watch, you're only getting half the story.
One line from Untucked. I'll go first.
Okay.
Sherry says, each one of our shadiest moments, go.
Damn, that didn't age well.
Could you do it more like I Love Lucy though? Oh yes.
Yes, yes.
Ew.
Hello, La Queer.
Friend of the pod.
I would like to quote Gigi Von Lejeune Granger Good. This is the first time Rue has ever said, this is the strongest group of girls. And she keeps saying iconic. Like, when has she ever called an entire group of girls standing on that stage iconic? And this has been
One line from Untucked.
Now, girl, RuPaul told us we were the wind beneath her wings. She said we were her legacy work. Mm-hmm. We were, she said everything about, you know, all the nice things. I think she says it to every year, except the one where she said, meh. Did she call you guys iconic too?
I don't know, but it was a different, I don't know. It was a different time, I think.
I'm happy for all these girls and all their accolades and everything. You know, I'm not mad about it at all.
And the truth is they are an iconic group of girls. And it's been a really exciting, really fierce season. And I hope that, you know, once we see the other side of COVID mania, that these girls will have the opportunity to come to you wherever you are in the world and share their gifts with you and do shows. So I look forward to that future because they're all really amazing.
I mean, the real challenge comes after the show. And by that, I mean, making sure RuPaul remembers your name because, girl, she'll forget. We've all seen the videos and keeping your name on the tongues and the minds of America and the rest of the world is crucial to success. So we'll see how that goes.
RuPaul is not gonna remember your name. Whatever. I know RuPaul knows my name too. And
well, how many times did you have to do the show?
No. Fucking bitch. Now, did you watch Secret Celeb? Seek celeb drag race.
Honey, if they have to put the word celebrity in the title.
So did you watch it?
No, I didn't watch it. I don't have VH1. Okay. And I bought the iTunes season pass for this show.
Well,
if you want to do a race chaser on the series, I'd be more than happy to view the program and adjudicate it.
No, I don't. I don't think that'll be necessary.
You don't foresee
that?
No. I mean, I have imdb.com, so we could look up who the celebrities are. If you'd like.
Listen, okay, Phoebe Robinson was on this episode, and I did her podcast like a couple years ago, and it was one of my favorite interviews I've gotten to do. Phoebe Robinson.
I'll take
is
what
really
is a Phoebe Robinson for 200, Alaska.
Oh my God. Listen, well, for those of you who watched, I hope you enjoyed it. And
Layla was on it.
Yes, Layla was the unseen queen.
We love an unseen queen. I love a seen queen, but I also love an unseen queen.
Yeah, she did everybody's makeup, and she was also on We're Here this week doing makeup. So
Layla has an incredible aesthetic.
Check her out
online. She's like doing a Depop or selling a bunch of stuff that's like got her art on it and stuff that she's made and like gorgeous stuff. So if you're looking for some drag and you really like the color blue, check out Layla right now.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we appreciate you so much for tuning in this week for Race Chaser. And we promise to continue to provide you with award-winning content each and every week.
Mm-hmm.
We won't stop, can't stop.
Yeah. What is this? Where are we? Oh, here we go. I'm Willem.
And I'm Alaska.
And you can rate our podcast and comment about how fantastic it is. And subscribe to make sure you know when each new episode comes out. I realize everyone's very busy at this time, but it's Wednesday and Fridays.
Yeah. And you can follow us on Instagram at Willem, at the only Alaska 5000. And our Race Chaser podcast is at Race Chaser Pod.
And if you use the hashtag Race Chaser when you post, we can see it. And you can search the hashtag Race Chaser on Patreon if you'd like to see some bonus content of Alaska and I being drag queens. And if you have any info, queries, questions, intelligentsia, you can send us a DM or email us at racechaserpodcast@gmail.com.
It's the hangout for Miami's literary intelligentsia.
Bye.
Race Chaser is not endorsed by World of Wonder, Viacom, or any of their subsidiaries. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. RuPaul's Drag Race and all names, pictures, and audio clips are registered trademarks and or copyrights of their respective trademark and copyright holders.
Forever
Race Chaser with Alaska and Willem is a Forever Dog podcast.
Produced by Big Dipper.
Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey.
Mixed and mastered by Will Pitts.
Our theme song is Race Chaser by Alaska Thunderfuck.